jackpot of $1,000. Now, text the keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's WIN to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
All right, it's 6:05. It's official. We're on baby watch. That's the first sounds coming out of the hospital.
Not yet. She's still in labor.
Yeah, right.
I do not understand. I really don't understand America's infatuation and obsession with the British royal family. We fought a revolution to break away from these people. And all weekend long, all I'm hearing and reading about, oh, Kate Middleton is going into labor. She's having her third kid
again.
She
went into labor this morning.
She went into labor this morning.
She didn't go into labor all weekend
long. How long does labor last, for God's sake?
Well, it depends. The last baby she had, which, by the way, was Charlotte.
You're one of these people who want to go back to being ruled by the British.
Well, George is 4, Charlotte is 2. The last labor was just a couple of hours. I don't know. Natalie told us she was in labor for 3 days once. So it obviously varies from person to person.
It does. And baby to baby, by the way, also.
Yeah.
I don't get it. My girlfriend is obsessed with everything about the royal. She's gearing up for the big wedding, Harry's wedding to Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
You pick up the Post, wall-to-wall royal coverage. I mean, my God, the Post was founded by Alexander Hamilton, who was one of the leaders of the American Revolution breaking away from England.
I saw the show, so I realized that we had a problem.
Len gets his history from the Broadway show.
One of those King George characters, which,
exactly.
By the way, he steals the show.
He is, Hamilton. Yeah. King George is very good at Hamilton.
He has two solos that steals the show. But anyway,
All morning long, we're going to be talking about she have given birth yet? Is it going to be a boy? Is it going to be a girl?
It is. We're on baby watch. I'm telling you. Very exciting. And what's the over-under on how many times I'm going to play that sound?
No. Just play Rue Britannia, rule the day.
You know what is sad from the weekend?
So wake me up when it's all over.
Avicii dying, just 28 years old. That is one great song that I've known for, 3 or 4 years. Just say it.
Now, that really moved me, too. I didn't know much about Avicii, but then you read about his life. I mean, the highest paid DJ in the world, or close to that. And great songs, but he developed a pancreatitis from drinking when he was only in his early 20s. I mean, yeah. I guess the DJ life is crazy. You're up all night doing drugs and drinking. But how much booze do you have to consume to have a disease that most drinkers get later in life? And he had it in his mid-20s. And he retired from performing live because of all these health problems.
No cause of death listed.
No. He died in Oman. Where he was on vacation.
He's, Swedish? Is that what we determined?
Yeah, he was Swedish.
So he died in Oman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he was on vacation, they said.
No cause of death, but maybe the effects of what you're talking about, this pancreatitis or the drinking.
That's why he retired from performing live, because of all the health problems brought on in large measure by the consumption of alcohol that he did for. Tim Bergling, his name is, nice Swedish boy. Look at pictures of him. He's a kind of a nondescript kid, but he had the gift of the charisma of this great pop sensation, and dead at 28. But 28 isn't 28.
No, you know what? I looked it up.
Is that the age where, like, Joplin goes?
No, 27.
And 27.
You know, I looked it up. When I saw 28, I said, you know, that's the... No, I just looked it up before we went on the air. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison, all 27.
27, huh?
So he was 28, so...
Man. Sad, though. It moved me.
Well, I just remember the song. They played the song at my daughter's wedding, and I said, what is that?
Great song.
Really hit me, and I had never heard the song.
Do me a favor. Play that instead of that stupid baby... gurgling, crying all day long, will you?
So wake me up when it's all over. When I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost.
Really? Just a terrific song. Our big three stories this morning, of course, starting with the terrible story out of Nashville. The manhunt continues. And Joe, you mentioned... Did you mention your new guy? That was you. He could be anywhere, right?
Anywhere, they say, yeah.
Anywhere.
Is he wearing pants now?
Well, maybe not. That's his mode of attire, half dressed.
Obviously a sicko, was arrested by the White House. We'll get into all this, but four are dead, four injured. There's a hero who wrestled him to the ground.
Yeah.
And
who didn't have a gun. The Daily News says, a good guy without a gun.
Yeah.
Who tackled him. I got to say, I probably shouldn't say this, but when I saw the pictures of this this Travis Rankin, he looks a little bit like Terry, our newsman.
Oh, jeez.
I thought so. By the way, I thought so, too.
He does, wow. Doesn't he? If Terry combed his hair down.
You take Terry, our news guy, you give him, like, some fake teeth and mess up his hair.
He looks
That's the guy.
And also, when Terry shows up for work not wearing pants, he looks exactly like this guy.
I've always worried about...
You guys are terrible. Oh, he does not look like Terry.
I've always worried about Terry.
Like,
he is always so good-natured. He's always so even-keeled.
Yeah.
He always walks in and says, you have a nice weekend.
But he never... So you knew there was the other side.
I worry about... I think people like that are the ones who are going to climb a water tower and take out an entire town.
And he never has pants on when he comes to work. So
yeah.
I mean,
that's Terry. I'll tell you. Have you ever, Joe, have you ever seen Reinking and Terry in the same place before?
No, I have not.
Oh, there you go. Bruce, my point.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Terry, but I couldn't help you.
Also,
here he comes. Put the pants, Terry, put your pants on, please.
Terry's hiding under the desk. He's embarrassed right now. Also in the big three, of course, the big North Korea news over the weekend, they announced they'll suspend nuclear testing. You can look at that one of two ways, fabulous, or the other way to look at it is, what's this guy up to? So, obviously, time will tell.
Oh, boy, you sound like old Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd there already.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
You take this totally at face value. You guys totally distrusted anything Iran did with a nuclear deal, but anything this guy does, oh, great, sure. I believe him 100%.
It hasn't been negotiated yet.
Of course not.
It hasn't been negotiated.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm saying you can take it two ways. You can say, great, this is fabulous news, or, you know,
did you ever think you'd hear this?
Ever. Did you ever think an American president would meet with the head of North Korea to talk about de-escalation of nuclear weapons?
No.
Did you ever think that would happen?
No.
And now it's happening, and you're like, wow, we're already giving up all these things. We're conceding.
I didn't believe it.
It's not going to work.
Now you're putting words in my mouth.
Mrs. Doubtfire over there.
I never said anything about concessions, and you guys never give me credit for anything. I said last week on Friday that if they denuclearize North Korea and it's verifiable, yes, give Trump the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah, but you said,
said that.
But you also said, well, there are two ways to look at Two ways to look at it.
You have to be
skeptical about it.
You have to be skeptical with this guy. You have to be. Just the way you guys are with Iran, you have to be skeptical.
Well, Trump is not going in as a Pollyannish about it. He's already said, he said, look, we'll see what happens. If things work out, great. If they don't, I'm prepared to walk away. So he's not going to be duped the way you think he is.
You keep putting
the
words.
The implication,
what's
land,
wrong with you? Putting words and thought. I never said that he had conditions. I never said he's going to be duped. I said there's two ways to look at this.
Joe.
And you're, of course, putting words in my mouth.
Joe, don't you understand the implication that Len has when he says, well, there are two ways to look at it. It's like, I don't want to concede that Trump might have a breakthrough on anything.
It's a positive development, yes.
It
and
is.
You put sort of a, like, a
newsman, no. Just being a newsman, being rational, being reasonable. You know what he sounds like anytime somebody makes a statement against his president?
Against my president?
That's
what you
stop
sound
it.
Like. That's exactly
stop
what
it.
You sound
stop
like.
It. Stop
another
it.
Apologist. And rounding out the big three, we're on Royal Baby Watch. Kate's in the hospital at this minute. She's ready to pop out baby number three. By the way, that's the official Kensington Palace terminology.
Pop out?
Yeah. She's.
Do you really care about this?
Yeah.
Do you really care? You personally, Len?
Len Berman?
Personally?
Care? Do you care?
I think it's interesting.
Well, what's interesting about it? A woman's having a baby. Big deal. They have babies all the time.
Fifth in line to the
fifth
phone.
Fifth in line.
Yeah, I mean,
well, what are you, Joe? Like,
yeah, what are you,
2,650,000?
Exactly. Thank you, Natalie. You stole the words right out of my mouth.
Really? I mean, do we need to get, like,
obsessed with this nonsense?
Yeah, I mean, stop everything until she has the baby?
And then we're just going to have to ramp it up again, so we got to sit through that stupid wedding. You know,
I was going to say.
Riding around in a Cinderella dress, and we're going to have to hear, who's designing the dress?
Wait a second,
and
Meghan Markle?
Who's wearing, what the shoes are they going to be wearing?
That seems like a
what
nice couple.
What are her bridesmaids wearing?
You newspaper guys are such nasty curmudgeons. This is a feel-good story. Meghan Markle, an American princess, you know, part black, going over there, marrying Prince Harry. I think it's a wonderful story. And you, of course, throw cold water on it because that's what you newspaper people do. Everything's a big downer to you.
It's. I mean, why are you interested? The original wedding, the first one with Diana, that was a good wedding. That was interesting. But now I'm just bored with this whole family. We need like Dodi Fayed back in there or something to liven it up a little bit.
Dodi,
remember Dodi?
Yeah,
you know. But I'm here's what I'm waiting for. We have the weddings and everything's happy and perfect. Let's give it a little time till we get to royal divorce. Then we can talk, Lynn. That's what.
Listen to you.
That's quite a fun. Yeah.
Why is he such a negative Nancy, Joe?
I'm telling you. It's the newspaper business.
It is the newspaper business. I've been around it my whole life. These newspaper guys with the chomping cigars, having a glass of bourbon. Everything stinks. Everything's awful. Everything is rotten. I can't wait till they break up. That's a newspaper guy.
You're the most clean. Stop the presses, Len. I'm clattering away at my old Olympic typewriter. Exactly. Clang, clang, clang. When's the last time you look at a newspaper?
Mets tickets at 7:30. You going to put a downer on that one, too, Riedel?
No.
We have your personal seats at 7:30. At 8:30, we have more Mets tickets. And guess who's joining us live in the studio at 9:05? None other than Dr. Oz.
Great. Terrific.
Let's get to the bottom of this romaine lettuce deal. Come on. let's get to the bottom of it right now. You go into restaurants all weekend. That's all anyone talks about. Is the Caesar salad made with romaine lettuce?
I know. Everyone obsessed about that romaine lettuce thing, all please. Right.
Well, we're just getting started. We are officially on Baby Watch.
Now stop.
Coming up, but we are going to talk about that awful Waffle House story. A naked gunman opens fire, killing four, still on the loose. We'll tell you that he's not Terry. We don't know who he is or what he's about or what's going on. Plus, your next chance. Well, maybe he is. We're not sure. Plus, your next chance is $1,000 coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. Right now, Bernie Viter has traffic.
Good morning, everybody. At 6:25 on a Monday morning, so the hunt is still on for Travis Reinking, the 29-year-old who killed four people, injured four others at the Waffle House in Antioch, Tennessee, just outside of Nashville. Now, here's a detail that's chilling, Len. The Secret Service arrested Reinking in a restricted area near the White House last summer. He was forced to surrender some of his firearms then. Then his dad took the firearms away and said that he would never give them or would not
police
give them
gave
Travis
it back
again.
To dad. The dad wouldn't give them. Yeah.
Right. And then I guess dad gave the firearms back to Travis, or Travis got a hold of the firearms.
My question this morning is twofold.
Yeah.
Where was Terry, our news writer, over the weekend? And is he now currently armed? Is Terry now?
Oh, and third, is he wearing pants? Because this shooter apparently was wearing nothing but a green jacket when he showed up at the Waffle House.
Did you see the picture of the shooter and our news writer Terry side by side?
That's what I noticed it right away when the picture went up on television. I thought, that guy looks familiar to me. And then I thought, he looks like Terry.
Really?
Yeah.
Terry, Terry making a rare appearance here in the studio. What did you think when you saw the picture side by side?
No resemblance whatsoever. None whatsoever.
Now, let me just say, Terry, since we are radio, people don't know what Terry looks like. He looks like Travis Reinking, the shooter. Just want to be clear on that. This is a visual.
I'm sitting back in the newsroom, minding my own business, writing the 6:30 news. I hear my name on the radio. I'm thinking, maybe they love the 6 o'clock news. Maybe I'm being complimented or something. No, I'm being accused of a quadruple murder here.
And an eating at a Waffle House, which could be worse.
Seriously, you take Terry, put fake teeth on him, and muss his hair a little bit. He's a dead ringer.
He does. Well, I mean, Terry's a cute guy. He's got that little baby face going on there, like this killer does. And I got to be honest, it jumped out at me. I said, he looks like Terry. If you comb the hair down. Comb the hair. Can you comb the hair down for us, Terry? Put the hair down.
you got a lot of
mousse in there. That hair doesn't move at all.
A little gel, yeah.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
A little. Your hair is of the consistency of concrete.
By the way, Terry, you did a great job writing the 6 o'clock.
I appreciate
now
that.
Get out of here.
I'm just glad that Natalie had my back. At least someone. At least I have one friend in here.
Seriously. You guys are awful.
Well, I mean, he
but
does.
But you do look like him, Terry. And I love you, baby.
Wait till you see your 6:30 news, Joe.
Come on.
You're gonna you better.
Every other word is gone.
Right. Joe, you better proofread your 6:30 newscast. There's going to be a lot of missing words in there.
It's true. But, you know, get on the serious note, though. We have to give it up to the hero, the man who went after this Reinking guy, didn't have a gun, knocked him down, and probably saved life. James Shaw, his name is, 29 years old. He did what I guess you have to do now. You know, most people, certainly if I were in this position, some guy comes in with a gun and starts shooting, I would just freeze, panic, and I would get shot. But now they're saying three things you're supposed to do. Either run, hide, or attack. And when this guy paused in the shooting to reload or whatever, this Mr. Shaw jumped on him, knocked him down, took the gun away from him, and the shooter then ran away. So you have to be prepared to go into attack mode when a shooter comes into your school or to your Waffle House, God forbid.
All right, here he is, James Shaw Jr.
I figured if I was going to die, he was going to have to work for it. Yeah, I knew I had it in me, but I haven't had any specific combat training. It's just, you know, I had fight my daughter every night so I can get her, put her to bed.
They say fight my daughter every
what
night.
A good guy. A good guy. Fights his daughter every night. But and then he says he doesn't consider himself to be anything special.
I'm not a hero. I'm just a regular person. And I think anybody could have did what I did.
Well,
I don't know if anyone could have done it, and I think Mr. Shaw is indeed a hero. I mean, really fast thinking. I would be paralyzed, Len.
I would. Well, I for sure. I for sure would.
You would run.
Oh, I would run. I would. I mean, what was the first thing you said you
not
do?
Not fast enough.
What you say, what, the first thing you do if there's a situation? You said
you run,
run,
hide.
That would be me.
You run, hide, or attack.
A or like, B. Yeah. Well,
no,
anyway.
Let him go, Terry, what are you doing?
Terry, put your pants
knock
on.
Knock it off, Terry.
Put your pants back
really,
on, Terry,
I'm seeing too much of Terry. CEO Walt Emmer says, no, the guy is a hero.
But you are a hero. You're my hero. You saved people's lives. And I talked to some of those people you saved today. And they will think of you for the rest of their days.
Well, give him a free pass then at the Waffle House the rest of his life or something. Do something.
No, the guy is a hero. James Shaw Jr. of Nashville. He knocked a gun out of Ryan Keene's hands, and Ryan Keene is still on the list, we should say. All right, let's go to the 6:30 news with Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Michael, an investigation continues after a Paterson, New Jersey police officer was killed. Officer Tammy Yagan died after crashing his marked patrol vehicle into a parked car on Getty Avenue yesterday. City Councilman Luis Velez says it's a loss for the city.
In uniform, he was the type of people that, officer, that always orientate people how to conduct themselves out there, drive safely, you know, and without uniform, he was a kind man, always with a smile, always shaking hands.
Not clear whether Yagan died because of the crash or whether he suffered some kind of medical emergency before the accident. NYPD continuing to search for a man wearing a Make America Great a hat who pushed another man onto the subway tracks. There was some kind of argument. This was Friday at the Union Square station. The man in the hat was yelling anti-Hispanic slurs. Then he pushed a 24-year-old victim onto the track.
Just because if he's an immigrant for whatever nation he's from, you ain't got no right to put your hands or throw somebody in the train. It's not right.
It's disrespectful because they come to this country to work hard and make a living for themselves, and they should be able to do that without being discriminated against.
I would think throwing a guy in a subway track is disrespectful. I don't know.
That's very disrespectful.
I would think so.
Now, the good news here is the victim was treated for only a head laceration. He's going to be okay. The suspect, though, did escape. Mm. Speaking of making America great, President Trump welcomes the French President Emmanuel Macron to the White House today. First state visit of the Trump presidency. An elaborate ceremony will take place on the South Lawn tomorrow. White House says Trump is eager to host the Macrons, and they enjoyed the dinner they shared in Paris last year. This guy made a big impression on Trump, not only in terms of you know, the international diplomacy, but of course the military parade that he witnessed.
Oh, that's right. Right.
Yes,
and he's got a hot wife too.
That's what Joe said during the break. See, that's
Macron's wife, she's a hottie.
Right. I wonder if Joe was going to go there. I think the wife made a big impression.
And Macron's younger than the wife, and the wife
much
is
younger,
a drama teacher or something like that.
Absolutely.
So the wife's a cougar.
Terry
didn't write that in there. That
18 people. No, I'm not going there, Len.
You're not taking the bait, are you?
No, not at all.
18 people displaced after a fire in Jersey City began in an alley on Bergen Avenue, quickly spread to four buildings. Two firefighters were hurt. And we have a court appearance today for the driver of the car accused of mowing down pedestrians in Times Square. Richard Rojas being held without bail after the attack that killed a woman, injured several others. Speaking of court appearances today, going to be an interesting one in Manhattan for the actress from Smallville, Allison Mack.
Yes, she's involved in that weird sex cult.
What's that one all about?
I don't know, but I'd like to get a little bit more information on that one. The news brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services.
What kind of information do you really want?
You got to get to the bottom of the story.
You want a little, what do you want to do some investigative reporting out there? Nexium, I think the sex cult is called.
Well,
there.
These women apparently were branded.
It's crazy.
Yeah. By the way, our news brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com.
All right. Well, Len, the Mets were rained out, but there's a lot of drama surrounding old Matt Harvey going back to the bullpen, and he is not happy about it. We're going to be talking about that when we get back. Plus, your chance at $1,000 coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR.
Riverwalk is a premier independent living community. It overlooks the Hudson River with luxury residential-style accommodations. Riverwalk is part of River Spring Health's Family of Care Solutions and is located at the Hebrew Home at Riverdale's lush 32-acre river waterfront campus. Riverwalk's spacious modern apartments feature cafe-style meals, housekeeping, and concierge services. I've been to Riverwalk, and I've witnessed older adults as they experience life in a vibrant atmosphere. I've seen the residents participating in activities and programs, including art classes, live entertainment, dance, and music. Residents enjoy a renowned art collection and museum. They have cultural trips, and they're enriched through Riverwalk University courses, lectures, and current event classes. Find out more by calling 800-56-SENIOR. Every aspect of the Riverwalk experience has been thoughtfully crafted around one central mission: to help your loved ones live forward each and every day. Call 800-56-SENIOR or go to riverspringhealth.org today.
And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Biter.
Coming up on 6:42, it's Monday. It's going to be a nice day, a high near 65. Spring has sprung, Riedel.
Still a little. It still feels a little chilly to me. I mean, we should be in the 70s now. It was nice yesterday. I had my run. First time in a long time I've actually gone for a run, because I swim when it's a little cold outside. And I thought, great day. And then I went out. I had to give a speech last night to a bunch of Republicans, big fans of yours, Len.
I'm sure.
And it was freezing by the time I got to my speech. Well, freezing, because I didn't wear a jacket.
At least it was much better. Much better yesterday, getting up to 65. And, well, it's that time of the morning every day right here around 6:42.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
So if you went to sleep early and missed the end of the Mets game last night.
What game?
Just kidding. They were rained out.
Is that a test for me to see if I'm paying attention to the Mets?
They were rained out in Atlanta, and they'll make it up when, Michael Riedel?
Not right away.
Correct. They'll have a day-night doubleheader Memorial Day in Atlanta. And big story. Now, they have today off.
Yeah.
They're on to St. Louis. So they got a couple of days to rest. Their bullpen needed it after getting roughed up Saturday night. And 6:05 is our coverage tomorrow night, Mets and St. Louis. But the big news over the weekend, and we can't be surprised because we heard the sound bites. You know, Matt Harvey's been struggling as a starting pitcher. So we played the sound bites last week, and we were convinced from that he was going to be shipped off to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happened.
Yes, but he's not going willingly. He's being a bit of a baby about it.
Well, in this case, he's giving us honest feelings about it.
I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, obviously I'm at a 10 with being pissed off, but, you know, my performance hasn't been there, and I just have to do whatever I have to do to get back into the starting rotation, and that's right now go to the bullpen and you know, work on some things, get things back to where I need to be, and you know, get my shit in order and figure it out.
Yeah, you get your blank in order.
Now, give me your insightful veteran sportscaster's analysis. What has gone wrong with Matt Harvey? When you screw up this way, what's happening? Psychologically, is he off his game? What's going on here?
I think the surgeries have taken their toll, so his fastball has not hit where it did when he was, quote, the Dark Knight. So his velocity is a little bit down, which means he has to learn how to pitch a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be doing that in spring training, and now it's just not going for him.
So. Do you think he can make a comeback, or is he pretty well on the way out?
Don't know. I don't know what the bullpen will do for him. He's not going to be a closer. So he's considered a middle relief guy, which means you're only in there when the game is either way up or way down. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he can come back from this. But the manager seems to think this is the answer.
I mean, his ability to throw strikes. We always talk about, you know, guys needing to come in, get ahead, and pound the zone coming out of the bullpen. And he can definitely do that.
All right, so we'll see. We'll see if he can do it out of the bullpen. By the way, we were talking last week about Jose Reyes not getting a hit. So I thought it was very cute. Reyes tweeted on Saturday, sent out a tweet, Jose Reyes will get a hit. Jose Reyes will get a hit. Jose, 11th, right 11. In a row, in the same tweet.
Yeah.
Jose Reyes will get a hit. got three hits that night.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it worked great.
It worked for him. It worked for him.
Now, one of the craziest things that happened over the weekend was this guy playing for San Francisco, Brandon Belt. He didn't belt the ball. They're claiming it's the longest at-bat in baseball history. I take umbrage with that. If you want to see this video, he fouled off like 15 straight pitches or something. 16 in a row. Let's see. He fouled off 16 pitches, 10 in a row. His at-bat lasted. What can you do in 12 minutes and 45 seconds? Watch one guy bat. This guy, Brandon Belt of the Giants, batted for 12. Talk about an exciting baseball game.
I know.
He was at the plate for 12 minutes and 45 seconds. And after all that, you know what he did?
But that was pitch number 20, so this will see at least 21. We believe that this may be a new modern record for most pitches in one at-bat.
To right field, Calhoun's going to make the catch. Just broke a record, 21 pitches. The old record was 20.
That was a fly out to right field.
But you question this.
Yeah, well, because I don't think they kept stats back in the day. I think they've only kept this as a modern stat since the 90s. Mm. There's been lore over the years of guys facing more pitches. But who would know? They didn't count pitches back in the aughts and the 20s and the 30s. So anyway, let's call this the modern record. Brandon Belt was up for 12 minutes, 45 seconds, saw 21 pitches.
Not exactly a record to brag about, though.
No, not really. Interesting other sports item is the president was asked by Sylvester Stallone to please pardon Jack Johnson. Now, Johnson was convicted in 1913, a black heavyweight champion of white. Well, he took a white woman across state lines, and they put him in jail, which, of course, was racist at the time.
Absolutely, yeah.
And
a lot of presidents have been urged to pardon the boxer. Clearly, it was not a crime, ridiculous, right?
Right.
But I guess the resistance is not pardoning dead people because there are a whole list of people who are dead. Where do you stop on it? I don't know.
I mean, I always thought this was an injustice for Jack Johnson, and it should have been overturned. So I'm not against him doing it, but I understand the resistance.
Yeah. I can pardon him, please.
Pardon the guy. All right. Coming up, a man wearing a Make America Great Again hat shoves another man onto the subway track. This is terrible. Yeah. And a 2-year-old girl left in a hot car in Queens. Already one of these stories. All coming up next. Plus, your next chance is $1,000. It's 7:05 on 710 WOR. Bernie Viter has traffic.
OR.
Good morning, everybody. 7:30, I'm going to be giving away my personal pair of tickets to a Mets game, so you'll want to stick around for that. And we have a big giveaway tomorrow morning as well, Len.
We do. Tomorrow is a special T-Shirt Tuesday. Every single caller who gets on the air tomorrow will win one of our spectacular new WOR T-shirts with my name on the back. So this is
my name's on the front.
No.
No.
Has the name of our show on the back of the T-shirt.
And that show would be called Len Berman and Michael Riegel in the morning.
Yeah.
On the back.
Yeah. My name is in big letters. Yours is like, you know.
With
lines over the title.
Len Berman, asterisk, Michael Riedel.
My name's over the title of the, you know, above the
But should it,
above
but the thing is, should the name of our program be on the back or should it be on the front
depends
of the T-shirt?
Depends who's wearing it.
Well, if Stormy Daniels is wearing it, I want it on the front.
Yeah, absolutely. So it all depends who's wearing it, right?
That's right. Hey, a couple of terrible local stories here to deal with this morning. A man wearing a Make America Great Again hat got into a verbal argument with a guy on the number 4 train yesterday, Union Square. And then he shoved this other guy, the Make America Great Again guy wearing that hat, he shoved this other guy onto the tracks. Fortunately, the guy was not run over by the subway, and he's okay, but police are looking for a black guy who was wearing a Make America Great Again hat who's pushed this guy on the subway.
Well, the guy he shoved was Hispanic, no?
Yeah, Hispanic, yeah. So. I mean, I don't know. It sounds to me like the guy with a Make America Great Again hat is not a Trump supporter. It's probably just some crazed guy out there who picked the hat up off the street or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. I mean, I know, Len, you would like to sort of...
See, there he goes. He's going to put words on
it. It's a Trump. Hate crimes are up under Trump, and
well,
a guy's wearing a hater and a Trump supporter.
Yeah, true.
But the guy sounds like he's a nut job. So
Natalie seems to be having your back on this one, Riedel.
Yeah, you don't.
No, I do. I do not think there was any political statement here. I think the guy found the hat somewhere,
exactly.
Somebody gave him the hat.
He was belligerent.
I don't think this guy was some kind of supporter where he donated and got the hat.
Now, what if the hat had said Obama 44?
Well, that would be another matter. That would be different.
Exactly. All right.
That would be something else. You know, we'd have to deal with that.
Here was some reaction from fellow subway passengers.
Just because if he's immigrant for whatever nation he's from, you ain't got no right to put your hands or throw somebody in the train. It's not right.
It's disrespectful because they come to this country to work hard and make a living for themselves, and they should be able to do that without being discriminated against.
Yeah, well, they're still looking for this guy. I guarantee when they find him, he's some lunatic guy just probably picked up the cap. He could have been wearing anything when he pushed this poor guy in the subway.
You know, you get these stories all summer, and I didn't expect to see one yesterday, but a 46-year-old mom, this was in College Point, Queens, charged with endangering the welfare of a child. Police said she left the baby in a locked car. So, you know, you just have to ask yourself, I mean, why? This was in a commercial parking district. The baby was in there for half an hour, but still in there long enough to overheat, dehydrate, had to be taken to Flushing Hospital. They took the mother, Elvira Sadikaj, to East Elmhurst, was brought to the precinct in East Elmhurst in handcuffs, now being charged with endangering the welfare of a child. Just, I don't know.
Baby, that's very, very upsetting, especially this day and age. Very dangerous. I'm so sorry to hear this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, these were neighbors in the area. It's just...
kid was only 2 years old, you know. I don't know what possesses... First of all, I don't understand, if you're a parent, why would you ever leave your child alone?
Right, in an air-conditioned house? Or in a car. Anywhere.
I mean, you know, well, what's on the woman's mind? You think, oh, I got to run an errand, I'll be right back, and then she gets distracted or something like that. But you're going to leave your kid by yourself in the car?
Two-year-old girl. The child is expected to be okay. So that's the good news. But, you know, Children's Services is investigating. I mean, is
this
mom fit to take care of this two-year-old?
You know, we often hear about this happens with pets, too. You know, people leave their dogs in the car in the summer, and the dogs often die because they overheat there.
This was just half an hour, and just think of the fact it wasn't particularly hot yesterday. I mean, it did get a little warmer, and still
imagine
the two-year-old
August.
Was overheated and dehydrated just from half an hour in a car, locked car. Just anyway, the people there.
They should never leave their children in the car. Absolutely not. There's no excuse to leave a kid in a car for any amount of time.
Well, yeah, all goes without saying.
I don't get it. The mother's distracted or something like that. Can't be bothered just to get the kid out of the car, hold the little kid's hand, and go and do the errands with a kid. Lunatic people out there. All right, when we come back, we're going to check in with ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan, who's down in Nashville. That shooter who killed four people at the Waffle House is still on the loose, so we will go to Nashville to check in with Jim when we get back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 coming up after the 7 o'clock news.
$1,000. Now, text the keyword money to 200-200.
You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info.
Standard data and message rates apply.
That's money to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Now more.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. In just a few minutes, we're going to check in with ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan, who's down in Nashville covering the shooting at the Waffle House. 29-year-old Travis Rankin of Morton, Illinois, went into the Waffle House around 3 a.m. He was wearing nothing but a green jacket, no pants or anything like that. Killed four people, injured four others. But the person we should be talking about is James Shaw, who, unarmed, 29-year-old guy, he jumped Rankin, took his gun away, and Rankin fled. And James Shaw, who says he's not a hero, in my book, is a big hero.
If I let him load that weapon, it wasn't going to be another window. It wasn't going to be another chance.
Yeah, he took it away from him. But, you know, this guy Rankin has had a whole series of issues. One was that he was wanted to jump the fence at the White House. They arrested him then and took away his weapons. But he's had other things. At one point, he wore a pink dress and was brandishing a gun. Another time, paramedics thought he was delusional. He believed that Taylor Swift was harassing him, was stalking him, and hacking his phone. He's had a whole series of mental issues.
Yeah, clearly a mental case. But once again, you know, the father, when they took the guns away after he was arrested by the White House, they gave the guns
They confiscated his firearms. They give the guns to his father. His father says, of course, my kid will never get the guns again. And the guy got the guns. We don't know if the father gave them to him or he got them from where the father put them or something like that. But background checks, Len, I agree with you on that. We disagree on Second Amendment issues, but we can agree background checks and lunatic people should not be allowed near guns.
For
all right. Also in the big three, we are awaiting news of a royal birth. Kate Middleton is in labor.
Yeah, as we speak.
And Natalie is all excited about this. Len pretends he's excited about this. And I could not care less. Because I am not interested in some brat who's fifth in line to the...
Unbelievable? Is that rude?
Brat? The baby's not even born yet.
A royal baby and you're calling him or her a brat?
He's going to be a spoiled brat, of course. He's born with everything.
See, I don't know how they can afford to have three kids. I mean, times are tough. I mean, really.
I just don't get the obsession that Americans have with the British royal family. I mean, Natalie, every time we come in and we have a story in the offing on the royal family, Natalie, our Cracker Jack producer, you go weak at the knees. You love these royal stories.
Oh, it's fun. Why not?
Yeah, would you rather deal with all the tragedy? Do you want to deal with all the delusional tweets coming out of Washington?
It's a diversion for me.
Yes, I would rather deal with the fact that Trump is preparing, also in our big three, for his summit with North Korea, and North Korea's already saying they'll scale back the nuclear program. So we're already achieving results, Len.
I hope we are.
Absolutely.
I hope we are. I hope it's all true, and it's not just a little ruse by the boy wonder. I hope it's true.
The boy wonder. Rocket Man. He's known as a Rocket Man. All right, let's go to Nashville, Tennessee, and check in with Jim Ryan, ABC News correspondent. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Ryan. Yeah, the search does continue today for the suspect in this case. His name is Travis Reinke. He's 29 years old. Just over 24 hours ago, the police say he stepped out of a pickup truck here. He had an assault-style rifle with him. He leveled it at customers and employees, killing three men and one woman, wounding two other people who were in stable condition this morning, we're told. The search continues in almost every intersection here in Antioch, Tennessee, just southeast of Nashville. You'll find police cars with their blue lights flashing. They've searched the schools in this area before beginning classes today, just to ensure that he's not hiding in one of the schools. He could be anywhere between here and Illinois, about 450 miles away. He has roots there. The sheriff said that he could be headed in that direction. We just don't know at this point.
Hey, Jim, did he say anything, or was he silent the whole time? Did
not
he make any kind of statement? Nothing?
Nothing. Yeah, which was remarkable. That's one thing, Len, that the witnesses have said. He didn't say a word. Stepped out of the truck, started shooting. Went inside the business, inside this Waffle House, still hadn't said anything, continued firing. Finally, either the gun jammed or he was changing magazines. He had two more magazines in his pocket. And there was a pause in the gunfire. One man, a customer who had a grazing bullet wound to his elbow, grabbed the barrel of the gun. You know, it's hot. Burned his hand. He grabbed it and he threw it over the counter of this restaurant. The suspect then ran out of the building and took off. When he walked in, he was wearing only a jacket, a green jacket. He had the two magazines in the pocket. So as he ran off, he was wearing nothing at all. And in fact, the tweet from the police department initially said there's a nude man running away from the Waffle House. That was the suspect here. It's thought he made it to his apartment and got dressed and has run again. They just don't know where he is at this point, Len.
Hey, Jim, what do we know about this hero who grabbed the gun, James Shaw Jr.?
Guy just doing, you know, he's doing what anybody was doing at that time of the morning, 3:30, and getting off work, wanted a bite to eat, went in there and stumbled into this whole mayhem. He says he's not a hero. The CEO of the Waffle House Corporation says he is a hero, and he'll thank him every day for stopping the gunfire. As tragic as this was, the death of four people, injuries to a couple of others, he says this could have been much worse, and he calls James Shaw a hero.
Yeah, Jim, any details on the father? Reinke was arrested by the White House, had the guns confiscated. The guns were then given back to the father. The father apparently said the kid would never get the guns again. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's a big question, Michael. Did he give the guns back to his son? Did the son open the gun case? How did he get a hold of them? We don't know that. But at some point, yes, the guns fell back into the hands of the very person who should not have had them. Among those four guns was this AR-15 that was used yesterday, according to police. Now, the police have been able to account for three of the four that he once owned or did own before this whole thing happened at the White House. But the one gun that hasn't been found is a handgun, and the police think he might have that with him now.
We're on with Jim Ryan, ABC News correspondent in Nashville. The focus, obviously they want to find the kid, but the father is heavily involved in this for supposedly not safeguarding these guns. Jim, has the father said anything?
Not publicly. No, you know, we assume that he's been questioned by the police. I think that's how this information came out about his promise to withhold the guns from his son. But he hasn't said anything public at all. And certainly he's a part of this investigation, Len, as are folks who had contact with him in Illinois and in Washington and elsewhere. The sheriff in the county where he used to live said that he was sure that this kid, this 29-year-old, had some mental health issues.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, what you said, though, is what people need to be aware of, Jim. They have found three of his guns, but a handgun is missing, and it is in all likelihood he is on the lam with a gun, so I guess you'd consider him armed and dangerous at this point.
Well, that's the assumption. The assumption is that he probably got a different vehicle. He left the pickup truck sitting in the parking lot here that he came in, but we have to assume that he has a different vehicle somehow and that he has this other gun. So, yes, the search is concentrated here in Antioch, southeast of Nashville, but also extends all the way across the state. He's on the statewide most wanted list at this point.
Well, my guess with his mental history and what's gone down, that he maybe will use that fourth weapon on himself.
Well, let us know.
Just a thought. I mean, obviously, I have nothing to base that on, but it just seems that that's where we're heading. And really, Jim, they're saying he could be anywhere.
Yeah, just about anywhere. You know, considering this past, the sheriff there in just outside Bloomington, Illinois, said that he thinks he could be headed in that direction, but that's 450 miles away. So, you know, he between here and there and across Tennessee, the search just extends all across the region and is getting wider with every hour.
Jim, just a speculative question here, but if it turns out that the father gave the guns back to the son, is the father in any legal jeopardy here?
Sure, there could be a real liability there, especially if he signed paperwork saying, no, I won't give these to my son. If it was just an oral promise, it may be hard to go back and prove it. But if he signed something saying, yes, I will keep these safeguarded, here's how I will keep these guns away from my son, and then the son got a hold of them again, if there could be some negligence there, or if he handed them over to the son, there could be a real legal problem.
All right, ABC News correspondent Jim Ryan down in Nashville. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Chilling, though, to think this wackadoodle guy is out there with a firearm.
Now, the sheriff, Robert Houston, obviously was asked about the dad and what the involvement was, which is what we were just discussing.
He was allowed to do that after he assured deputies that he would keep them secure and away from Travis. We have no information about how Travis came back into possession of those firearms after August 24th. Seizure of a person's property is a constitutional rights issue, and it's a very serious matter, and we need to be on solid legal ground in order to seize someone's property.
Yeah, so they obviously seized the guns. Clearly he had mental issues on several fronts, including that White House confrontation a few years ago. But then the guns somehow made their way back to him.
You know, the constitutional issue, I suddenly find myself agreeing with you, though, Len, here. I mean, I think if a guy is crazy, arrested in the vicinity of the White House with firearms, I don't think the firearm should be given back to the family or anyone near him so this guy can get close to firearms ever again.
By the way, to tell you the truth, I'm a little bit unclear on this whole thing, too. I don't know where you draw the line, where you can take guns, where you can't, what's involved, what the court proceedings. I think this is a very dicey area that has to be explored. I'm not convinced one way or the other on this.
Yeah. All right. Hey, when we get back, Len, is North Korea already backing down? Has Trump already got them to give up their nuclear program? And what is he offering them to do that? We'll talk about that when we get back. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Biden.
Boy. Hey, good morning, everyone, on a sunny Monday, 7:24. Good morning to you, Michael Riddle.
Good morning.
Exciting day because in London, you know, Kate went into labor just a little while ago, and
had the baby?
Big announcement. No baby yet.
So, why'd you play the fanfare if you're not going to announce? And we got another royal brat on our hands.
I was just playing with you. How long have you been here? This is the eighth week.
I know. I forgot. You
Len
and the sound
Berman
effects.
And Michael Riddle in the morning. I'm having a little fun here. Always. A little fanfare. No baby yet.
You with the sound effects.
If you're brand new to the show, and I assume some of you are, because, well, as it works in radio, some people wander on to us because they might have been listening to a Mets game, although yep. they were rained out yesterday, although we have some commercials running where we look fabulous on television.
I look good.
You look good. Yeah.
I look great. You look like you're asleep.
So you may...
You may be new
to this extravaganza. If you haven't been here, what took you so long? Anyway, yes, I'm the guy who used to be doing sports on television. I took a wrong turn somewhere and wound up in radio talk.
And he missed his nap.
And you are Michael Riedel, and what's your claim to fame exactly?
I am the Broadway columnist for the New York Post, a position I've held since 1998, believe it or not. And, you know, I'm a Broadway guy, but radio has been exciting and fun, and I'm delighted to have the chance to be working alongside a legend and a veteran like Natalie Vaca, our great producer.
Exactly.
Here at WOR.
I knew you were going somewhere with that. Say hello, Natalie. For those who don't, Natalie's been with WOR for 21 years.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
On and off with mornings.
You
and
are the radio
station.
Legend. And yes. the winner of the Gracie Award is one of the top yes. women in broadcasting this year.
Congratulations,
thank you,
Natalie.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And also obsessed with the royal family. All things royal family.
What is wrong with a little royal news?
Yeah, what's wrong with a little royal news, Riedel?
We broke away from England.
The thing.
We broke away from the crown. We had this thing called the American Revolution, and now everybody I know, all my younger female friends, are
250 years ago. Give it up.
They're obsessed with Meghan Markle getting married to Harry and Kate Middleton giving birth to Netta.
Oh,
yet another heir.
By the way, did you hear there's another pregnancy?
Oh, God. Yes, her
Pippa.
Sister.
Pippa. Yeah, you did hear it. That's right. Pippa's pregnant.
Are they going to have babies close in age? That's nice.
That's very nice.
Pippa Longstocking Middleton is pregnant.
If you want to know about Riedel, he tilts so far to the right, he's going to fall.
Oh, please.
He's going to fall over. He was the president of, this is a true story. Fourth grade, he was the president of fourth graders for Ford.
It didn't work out too well because he lost to Carter, but I tried.
You were on your way.
And I was a page at the Republican convention in 1984 when we renominated the great Ronald Reagan.
And now you're going to nominate Donald Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize because the North Koreans are caving like a cheap suit, right?
Did you ever expect, Len, to see the North Koreans agree to meet with the president of the United States? Did you ever expect to see a president of the United States agree to meet with the North Koreans? And already you have your lefty friends. I heard a couple of these so-called analysts, diplomatic analysts on the lefty radio stations over the weekend saying, now this is a terrible idea. This is terrible that Trump is meeting with North Korea. These
Why?
Are the same people said, well, we'd have to have that deal with Iran. It's a negotiation is the important thing. We shouldn't talk of war. We shouldn't be led into war. Diplomacy, negotiations. And now they'll say, no, Kim Jong-un, he's dangerous. He should be ostracized. We can't bring him into the family of nations. He'll use any appearance with Trump as a propagandistic tool. They've completely changed on this.
Well, I'd like to see how it all turns out. I don't agree with those people, by the way. I think it is a good thing if he meets with Kim Jong-un. But I don't want to take too much of the fact that the Rocket Man says he's going to stop with the nuclear testing. I, you know what? That's fine. That's a good first step. Let's just make sure Hey, listen, I've said it before. If they do denuclearize and we can verify it, home run. Give them the Nobel Peace Prize, but there's a lot of twists and turns. I fear they're going to be on this little road of path to denuclearization.
In the words of the great Ronald Reagan, trust but verify.
Yeah.
I don't think Trump is going to walk into this and be duped by North Korea. I don't think so. But the fact that we're talking, as far as I'm concerned, can only lead potentially to good things. And I really believe it was Trump who put the fear of God in North Korea when he said, my button is bigger than your button. I know that's not diplomatic speak. But it did have the effect of telling Kim Jong-un, listen, if I'm going to get into a war with the United States, they're going to knock me off the face of the earth.
I'd like to think maybe that's true. It's also true that maybe the Chinese here put a little bit more pressure. And you would give Donald Trump credit for that, too, because he's the one who spoke with Xing. So, yeah.
No question absolutely. About it.
No question about it. Well,
all right. Guess what time it is.
It is.
Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets!
It is time for your personal seats.
We should
Michael
have three Real. Of those. Let's go,
one?
Mets. Give me another one, Len. Come on.
Let's go, Mets!
There you go.
It's now your chance to win my personal pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Braves on May 3rd at Citi Field. If you are caller number 25, caller number 25 at 1-800-321-0710, and you are the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets.
And now I think Joe needs an introduction here. And now with the 8:30 news, Sir Joe Bartlett.
Well, we'll do the 7:30 first.
Oh, 7:30. getting ahead of myself. So excited.
Well, maybe the baby been born yet, Joe? That's what we all want to know around
That'll
here.
That'll be by 8:30. Let's see, I was getting ahead of myself.
It may happen. We haven't had a birth yet. This is the top story, Len. Sorry, Mike. when this does happen, the announcement is going to be put up outside Buckingham Palace. That's a tradition. They will also announce the sex and weight of the baby. We don't know whether it's boy or girl.
Well, name?
No names. That will be kept secret for a couple of more days.
Oh.
There will also be an announcement on Twitter. Get the accounts ready, everybody. When Kate and William will come down from the steps, they'll do, you know, give you the royal wave, just as they did when Prince George and Princess Charlotte were born.
This is great.
Wait, Kate, she gives birth and then she gets up and walks down a flight of stairs.
Hey, royals,
they're
baby.
They're tough, baby.
She spent 10 hours in the hospital with Charlotte. That was the most recent baby. The first one, I think, was just a couple hours. Anyway, names. Have we started the name guessing, guys?
Well, we don't know the sex yet.
Well, the bookies in London already
have them. They have a boy and a girl name?
Yes.
Let's guess. The boy name is Prince. I don't know.
Philip.
Philip?
Michael. Really? Philip or Michael.
Name after me.
Yeah, there you go. See, now you're excited.
Now you got my interest.
Girl's name is Natalie and Alice.
Alice?
Really?
Alice is one.
Alice Stockton.
Alice? Perhaps Elizabeth.
You know, I wonder what the Queen's really thinking. She's probably thinking, my God, do we need all these children ready around Buckingham Palace? Enough of these people already, and I just lost my corgi.
Since when did the Queen become Pakistani?
I don't know. I thought that was a terrible
Let's give you some other news here. A gunman on the loose after shooting four people and killing them at the Waffle House in Nashville. 29-year-old Travis Reinkink was nearly naked when he opened fire with an AR-15. Fortunately, somebody in that shop, James Shaw, wrestled the gun away when resting paused to reload. The gunman has escaped. 18 people displaced after a fire in Jersey City. Fire chief says it began on Bergen Avenue, spread to four buildings, two firefighters suffering minor injuries. Former Mayor Bloomberg writing a $4.5 million check to cover America's portion of the Paris Climate Agreement. He was on Face the Nation, says he's acting because the president pulled the U.S. out of that treaty. And Shania Twain is apologizing after saying that she would have voted for President Trump.
Why does she have to apologize?
Well, she told The Guardian she would have voted for Trump because even though he was offensive, he seemed honest. She later had to apologize, saying her answer was awkward and should not represent her values. And it doesn't mean she endorses Trump.
She's a country western singer. They're all Trumpers.
So what kind of she must have gotten criticism, obviously.
Well, first of all, she gave an interview in which she said that to The Guardian, which is as far left newspaper as you can get in England.
Yeah, by the way, she's Canadian, so she couldn't have voted anyway.
What a story.
So it's a pointless story. It's a pointless story. There you go.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, Joey.
You're welcome.
Well, coming up next, we've got some crazy stories, including a dead guy's fingerprint and a trouble at Starbucks. And
your alma mater's got a fraternity problem there at Syracuse, Lynn.
Absolutely. All that stuff is going on. So that's coming up, plus your next chance at $1,000, 805, here on 710 WOR. After 9/11. Did you live in Lower Manhattan? Did you work there? Did you go to school there? Or did you help with rescue, recovery, cleanup, or construction near Ground Zero? Were you in Lower Manhattan below Canal Street between September 11, 2001 and the summer of 2002? And have you been diagnosed with cancer? If you answered yes to these two questions, you may be eligible for compensation. Call attorney Noah Kushlevsky, the New York lawyer who's established himself as the go-to guy with the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund. He's recovered over $1 billion for clients affected by the World Trade Center attacks. He's here to help. Look them up, folks. How many cases over $1 million? Noah's resolved over 400 of them. $400 million cases. If you were a student or live near Ground Zero or work near there below Canal Street after 9/11 and now you have cancer, call them. Call 888-974-3125 or go online to groundzerocancer.com. That's groundzerocancer.com or call 888-974-3125. Let's check out traffic now with Bernie Bice.
And Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. It's 742 on this nice spring morning.
Yeah.
In good. April, finally, after a lot of cold weather, a slog. It was one long slog through February.
We made it, huh?
To the end of April. So I think the temperature could still creep up to over the 70s. That would be my comfort zone. But we're going to get, 68, 60, 60?
Maybe 65 today.
65
maybe.
Today.
We're lucky. Yeah, so. We're lucky.
Congratulations to Dan DiPaolo from Staten Island. He won my tickets to see the Mets take on the Braves on May 3rd. Len's going to be giving away tickets at 8:30.
Yes.
So stick around for
hanging
that.
Yeah.
And also, big day tomorrow. It's T-Shirt Tuesday.
It is.
Anyone who calls in to our show, Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, if you get on the air, you are going to get a handsome new WOR T-shirt. I think it says WOR on the front and
yes.
on the back. It says Len Berman and, in asterisk, Michael Riedel, yeah. in the morning.
Small,
Len's the one who had the T-shirt.
Well, I paid for the T-shirts. If you paid for the T-shirts, I'd get second.
And building. Then Len and I are going to have a wet T-shirt competition later in the week.
Oh,
so
you
want to stick around for that.
No.
That'll look
no.
good on the radio. That'll look great.
Well, Natalie will give
it
you...
It's a nice T-shirt, though. I have to say.
Oh, you've seen it?
I haven't
seen one. I snagged one and took it home already.
You did?
Well, come on. You know in the office, T-shirts...
They go fast.
Would you wear that out? You're going to wear it out when you're jogging? WOR, Michael? It could be a running advertisement for the show.
It's like
Absolutely.
A running billboard.
I think we should...
Right.
I
sandwich board.
I think we should autograph the T-shirts.
It's thousands of them. You're going to spend all day autographing?
Yes, so you'll miss your nap. I know you like to stay around after the show, hang out in the office, you know.
Pal around with the guys on the staff.
That's it, yeah.
I know, yeah.
Can we should autograph a couple of the T-shirts, Len.
Okay, fine.
Nice little bonus.
Okay, I'll do it.
Hey, so Starbucks is in the news again. Remember last week, the two black men were there minding their own business, and they got into a fight with a general manager at the Starbucks, and he called the police on them, and Starbucks CEO had to apologize for that. Well, now the latest is... Down in Atlanta, a 25-year-old female customer reported that she found a hidden camera that was taped under the baby changing station in the restroom there. So we don't have a lot of details here, but that is creepy. Clearly, somebody who's working in that Starbucks is trying to, you know, catch a little...
Well, it could be a customer, too.
But I would think, why would a customer do it? Is a customer going to be there all the time checking
it? Put it in there and then go back and get it the next day? I don't know.
It seems more like an employee thing, but we don't know. But this is more bad news for Starbucks. And, that is kind of a creepy thing when you walk in there and, you know, you think you have privacy in the restroom and all of a sudden you see, I don't know, you see the red light or something like that, but a little hidden cam there. I bet this goes on more than we think.
Oh, I bet you're right. Hey, we got trouble up at my alma mater, Syracuse University, Theta Tau fraternity, thrown off. If you remember the story from last week, a video had surfaced of just terrible comments. They claim it was all, you know, made in jest, but obviously it was anti-black, anti-Jewish, anti-everything comments
terrible.
From this fraternity. Well, now another video has surfaced, thanks to the Daily Orange. That's the fine student newspaper up there. And the second video shows... them simulating a sex assault on a disabled person. So now they've just they've expelled this fraternity's gone for good.
Watching the first video, it just made me upset in general, but then now seeing the second video, that's even more messed up.
These are some Syracuse students.
My mind is boggled. Like, I don't understand how people can do that and, like, even think that they're going to get away with anything. It's disgusting.
So, bye-bye, Theta Tau.
And that's an engineering fraternity.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, they've engineered them. They're way off campus is what's happened.
Exactly right. And then, finally, this is a weird one, Len. Police are using a dead guy's finger to try to unlock his phone. He had the fingerprint sensor on the phone. His name, he was shot by police, and they're trying to investigate the shooting, and they want to get into his phone to find out if there's any information.
Wow.
Now, they went to the funeral home where the body was, and they got his phone, and they put his finger on the phone to try to unlock it so they can get some data.
The fiance was not happy. Said she feels disrespected and violated.
But apparently it is not illegal because if you're dead, you don't have a right
to
privacy.
Isn't that something?
So they could do it. It may be unethical, but it is not illegal. Hey, when we come back, we're going to do a little entertainment segment here because Harry Potter opened last night on Broadway. It got rave reviews in the newspapers today. I didn't get there because I went to see Mean Girls, another big hit on Broadway, so we'll tell you about those shows. When we come back, plus your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. Hey, you never have to miss Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. Stay connected and listen anywhere with the free iHeartRadio app. Your favorite radio stations plus unlimited streaming music available now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com. And now let's check in on traffic with Bernie Biner.
At 7:54, good morning, everyone. Big night last night in town. Harry Potter opening up, and this is a huge deal, a huge advance. It's in two parts, so you have to buy expensive tickets for two different nights, and so far so good, right?
Yeah, Michael? But the reviews are terrific. 3.5 stars in the Post. My colleague Johnny Olasinski says it's just wonderful, magical, terrific. New York Times. Now, the New York Times, which is, you know, pretty rough on a lot of Broadway shows and turns their nose up at a lot of stuff, says this is an absolutely magical production. That is the New York Times,
wow,
which generally doesn't like the kid-friendly fare that's on Broadway because they're kind of snooty types and they want, you know, seven-hour Shakespeare pageants and whatnot.
Well, explain to me, Mr. Broadway, how you have two long parts. Now, each one is a couple of hours long, right?
Yeah, each one's about three hours long. It's
okay.
a five-hour play.
Explain to me how you do that with no music.
Well, it's not a musical. It's a play, but there is music in the play. And the other thing people are raving about, the special effects are supposed to be really terrific. And there are a lot of great, wondrous special effects. And the ushers actually tell you, don't give away the secrets. Don't go out and don't tell people too much about the play because they want it to be a surprise.
J.K. Rowling was there herself.
J.K. Rowling was there. Yeah, she's having a great time. And conquering Broadway. This production is the most expensive play in the history of Broadway, costing $68 million. And Anthony, our producer, his mother was there, and she loved it, didn't she?
She loved every minute of it.
Wow.
Did she give away some of the secrets you can tell us?
No, she just said the special effects were great. Yeah. There weren't that many kids there,
Anthony,
which she was surprised about.
She just saw part one, or did she?
Both.
Both parts yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's worth the 5 hours.
Yep, that's what she said.
All right, tell mom, okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Would you take your grandkids to it? They must be Potter fans.
I don't think so. I think it's, they're too young for that.
But how about your daughter?
My daughter was a huge Potter fan, you know, and she read all the books. Now, you instead went to Mean Girls last night.
I did. My girlfriend loves the Tina Fey movie Mean Girls, and that's a big Broadway show now, so I took her to see that, and I walked into the theater. It was wall-to-wall screaming teenage girls.
They loved it?
Screaming. They loved it before it even started.
Wow.
And then, you know, as soon as it began and the characters they recognized from the movie come out, they went absolutely nuts for it. So if you've got a teenager who loves that movie, take her to see Mean Girls.
Now, what about if you're not a teenage girl?
I think you would enjoy it more if you go with your teenager.
Okay. Very good. That's
go with
fair.
Your teenager. You're going to have a great time at Mean
Girls. I'm going to plan on that.
Oh, yeah. Noelle, your daughter will love it.
Oh, mm-hmm. My daughter's already told me to ask Riedel for tickets. Are you okay?
I'm asking for tickets.
No, Riedel. I'll pay, but Riedel's going to line them up for me.
I can line them up.
Okay.
Yes, I can.
He'll get me those house seats, you know.
Yeah, it was fun in the theater. And I tell you, it's great for someone who covers the theater. And there was a long period of time where I thought, oh, God, the theater audience is getting so old. It's so old. To go into a Broadway theater and see 1,600 people, 1,600 teenagers having a great time, that's exciting and tells you there's hope for the theater.
What's sad about the weekend, 28 years old Avicii dying.
Yeah. So wake me up when it's all over.
Talented guy.
Incredible. Really. But he was just 28 years old. He was found dead in Oman, where apparently he was on vacation, and they're reporting no foul play, but he was in poor health. He had given up performing live, and he was suffering from pancreatitis brought on by heavy drinking and drug use. Now, you know, you get that kind of disease if you've been drinking your entire life. But when he was 24, 25, he was struck down by it. So you can imagine the amount of alcohol he consumed being a DJ.
Well, there's still no official cause of death. That was Wake Me Up When It's All Over was that hit. And this is called Levels. Years old, and he certainly left his mark.
Sweden's most famous export since ABBA.
Okay. Robert De Niro says he'll never play Donald Trump, in a movie. Okay, forget that one. How about James Cameron slamming what he calls hypergonadal superhero movies? He says he is dismissing all these Marvel franchise movies, describing them as simply showing unhealthy, testosterone-overfueled men running around destroying cities.
What was that song from Titanic? The heart will go near, far, wherever you are. Well, Cameron's movies were about human beings. Titanic is a great movie, Len. It's a great movie.
He might be right. I thought Titanic was a great movie.
And I'm sick of these franchise Marvel movies, too.
And a tick bite sent Annette Bening to ER during filming of a movie. So there you go. Look out for those ticks. Where was she filming? Oh, she was from California. Where was she
Shelter
from?
Island or something. I don't know. Where are the ticks? Out there in Long Island? Where you live in Long Island, aren't there ticks all over the place?
You're in New Jersey, too, by the way.
Everyone gets Lyme disease if you live outside of the city.
I'm reading this whole story. It doesn't say where. Great.
Well, okay, I don't think it was in the city. I think it had to be somewhere where the woods are.
Kellyanne Conway's fighting back, lashing out at CNN after questions about her husband. Plus, your next chance to win $1,000 coming up. Here's the news at 8 o'clock.